Time parameters.
9 minutes.
Hello and welcome to the DS9 Minute, the green shirt minicast which explores an episode of DS9 in less time than it takes to chase an emu around the promenade. Promenade.
No, hey. You're right. It's an odd.
It is an odd. I am Cameron. 15 episodes in, we're learning to pronounce the promenade. I am Cameron, and with me, also lacking the imagination to see just how good DS9 could be, Rob Campbell.
I'm imagining a snack cake real hard right now.
Oh, that's good. Meanwhile, willing to pay any price to get Rob and I to watch this show, even co-hosting a podcast. Miss Bobby Blue.
That's right, except if I was imagining anything, it'd be James Spader in my bed right now.
Ew.
Dressed as Rumpelstiltskin.
Mm, is that what you call it downstairs?
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. I did the wrong Rumpelstiltskin joke with that. And producer John T. Bolts.
Yeah, but if I was imagining anything, it'd be James Spader in my bed right now.
Oh. Whoa, good one.
Can't be too imaginative, James Spader. That's too much.
Now Bobby's imagining John imagining that, and that's why John said that.
Hey, I think James Spader can handle both of us, so.
There we go.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, this week we watched If Wishes Were Horses. Podulators, mount up.
Hmm.
All right.
Odo, you're disgusting. Quark, it's a living. Now, that's sincerely some quality writing right there. That's good stuff.
Yes.
That's my first note, too. Always a fan of the line, it's a living, ever since the Flintstones. Big fan.
Is it me?
Bobby. Sorry.
I just like Odo's, like, his no desire, no fantasy, no sense of smell. I mean, this guy's, like, kind of like living in a bucket, right?
I was hoping his imagination would be, like, a really fancy bucket.
I will say Odo mocking people for having wishes of places they've never seen and longing for things is a massive oxymoron, as you will later see in this series. Mm-hmm. Like,
totally.
He's the most longing character ever.
Yeah.
Speaking of Odo, like, what is his frame of reference for guessing how much snowfall is going to happen? Like, where does he has no frame of mind. I don't know.
Quark swapping out the sex holograms for like a state fair with carnival rides. And I mean, that's fine with me. I'm much more comfortable with that. Either that or a laser tag.
Yeah, that's not the first time a strip club has been turned into a Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah.
I like that Dax calls Julie now that he's still like harassing her sexually. But I'm like, welcome to the friend zone, you fucking Dr. Slutsville. Get the fuck off of Jedzia, for God's sakes.
We got a bunch of ornithologists on this station. Benarian Hawk from Quark, Gunji Jackdaw from Odo. Like, yeah, we got a bunch of experts.
The friend zone, neutral zone. There's a joke there, right, Bobby? I just couldn't get to it.
You've been neutral zoned.
Yeah, you're not allowed in the neutral zone. You got to go to the friend zone.
Not the bone zone, though.
No bone zone.
Yeah. Julian's like hesitancy when fake Dax shows up is like the only thing that kind of saves his behavior earlier on.
Yeah, it turns out he can't handle it. There's the scene that stuck out to me where Sisko's just chilling, reading in the dark, totally normal.
And immediately agrees to go to O'Brien's quarters with no further details whatsoever.
Right. Yeah. Right.
It's like, oh, finally something to do.
Booty call.
Back to Julian. I mean, like, let's say that, like, Dax is somehow drunk or drugged or something. Like, that is Dax. And she's like, oh, Julian. He thinks this isn't really Dax, but he's still going to take advantage of her. So, tits on you, Julian. That's not consent. You know there's something going on with Jedzia, and you still, like, went for it. Although, fun scene. Very fun scene. Yeah.
With Quark talking about opportunity, I again wish we'd had the No Jay consortium storyline going on here, and just it made me long for that kind of thing you would see in TV shows these days.
Sure.
Carried across several episodes.
Rob, you 100% thought Keiko and O'Brien were actually going to tell each other bedtime stories tucked in the bed together, right?
Yeah, that's what they said they were going to do, Cameron. Of course, they do what they say.
Just checking O'Brien's in.
O'Brien's a man of his word. This episode featured all the classic things that people imagine. Rumpelstiltskin, a baseball guy, a sexy Dax, snow, emus, guys on fire, holes in space.
Yeah.
The classic list.
Speaking of professional baseball players, if that guy's a professional baseball player, I mean, come on. That guy is like tubbier than me. Like,
welcome to baseball players.
He's got a professional baseball player.
All the best baseball players. They don't run. They just jog. They're
not soccer players.
I don't think if it's you're 5'8".
No, baseball players. That is exactly a baseball player's physique.
The show is so good at showing coworker relationships. The scene where they've got Kira telling Dax, "We were hoping you could tell us what the mystery is," and it's like it's such a good just coworkers giving each other shit kind of thing.
It was fun seeing everyone kind of work together for the first time in a while.
Yeah.
Hey, it's the man from another planet, Michael J. Anderson.
Heck yeah,
love that guy.
Wait, well, who's that?
Rumpelstiltskins from
Twin Peaks. Yeah, that's right.
Anything with a little person, but yeah.
Overall, this episode, the stakes are too low. Like, the whole, like, Figment's plotting in the dark should have been more menacing and scarier. It's like the whole thing kind of has, like, no real stakes. It's a bummer. And yet, then O'Brien has to sacrifice his child. That gets unexpectedly dark.
Yeah. It's all over the board. As far as the little person, I remember, I guess the actor that plays O'Brien, he said like they wanted to be a leprechaun. And he was like, absolutely not. Like, I'm tired of this racist Irish bullshit. So it took a while. But then they said, hold on, Rumpelstiltskin.
Man, Molly straight up wipes off Keiko's goodnight kiss after sending her to bed. Like, what a snub. Seriously, brutal.
I was feeling like the episode was just starting to tread water, and then we got that amazing act three twist where the three imaginary friends suddenly turn out to be more sentient than we thought they were, and then it just kind of treads water again until the last scene. Yeah, it doesn't quite work.
I'm
speaking of treading water, Odo should delegate things like emu wrangling to other people. He shouldn't be in charge of wrangling. True. He should have people for that.
I know this is the 21st century going back and judging Odo, but I really had a problem with the ladies and gentlemen, all the androgynous creatures. What the fuck, Odo? What the fuck are you?
You're still a person. Kind of progressive for the time.
Oh, I mean, probably for the time, but I was like, come on.
This is 20 minutes of story packed into a 43-minute episode.
Yeah.
The only thing that saves it and why it has a higher rating than the storyteller is that the three imaginary characters bring so much heat to their performances. Like,
yeah,
each one is just fun to watch every time they're on screen.
Yeah, that's why, like, when they started talking, I was like, okay, now we're getting somewhere. And then, Oh, it's me. I love that O'Brien totally misses his badge in the beginning, and it still chimes into comms to ops.
Yeah.
It is funny that Odo's imagination is just Quark in jail, but I kind of think that maybe he would be happy if everybody was in jail, like if like the whole ship was suddenly jailed, and he had like finally a moment to breathe to himself.
I love the subtlety of like what you perceive and believe does become your reality, like. Imagination, what you imagine is kind of reality, but these entities, it makes like no alien sense to me that they're like willing to like literally let the whole station die, all the people die, like they're like, oh, we're done studying you. It makes like, this is not a good studying method. It makes no sense that they'll be like, well, we'll see if they're gonna kill themselves. I don't get it.
Dual Dax, they must have been talking to the TNG crew at the same time as they were filming Second Chances and being like, hey, let's use some of that same split screen equipment since you guys have it rented or whatever.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was also wondering with Dual Dax, if like when they first kind of showed up together, if then a third Dax would have appeared because Julian would start thinking about having a threesome. And then after the third one would appear, he'd start thinking of a foursome to another Dax.
Like,
and
there'd
be like
a
triple of Daxes appearing on. I thought that was going to be the conflict.
I like that idea.
Yeah. I want to know more about this race. If they're like mini Qs, the little tiny Qs. And then when they say at the end, maybe next year, is that, I do wonder if they return next season. Like, I mean, this is their version of a holodeck episode. Cause they're just, you know, they don't have it. So.
Yeah.
Jake comes up with like the 21st century. How do I get out of my homework? And it's not the dog ate it. The computer deleted it. But does that make any sense? Cause there's always a computer. Like the computer, like, knows all things, right?
I
will say I don't buy that their humans are the first race they've run across with imagination. With that imagination, no species would ever get off their planet or develop society or it's like, no, I don't buy that at all. That is a dumb explanation for why you did this.
That's a good point. Please tell me that Quark's escorts are the same blonde and brunette that Q conjured up for Riker. I hope that there's just like a hot babe dimension out there where like omnipotent beings can draw them from when they want to fuck with mortals.
Right. I'll say this from our last note. All right, go ahead, Bobby.
I just wish there were some outtakes we could watch with Bashir and Dax in that like scene, because I guess it took like 9+ takes because he kept giggling.
For any Deadwood fans out there, Buck Pokaya is played by the same guy who plays Mr. Oh, right. Wu. So try and imagine that role with the same language. Enjoy. Wormhole closing.
That's good. I didn't like his character that much. But I think mostly it's because I didn't like the looping. They had a lot of looped dialogue.
Oh, okay.
Especially the first scene with him, especially. It just was really unnatural.
Tell me that there's a ongoing subplot about Molly just being so fucking traumatized.
Ugh. Right.
Poor Molly. And what a weird episode to bring back Keiko.
I know.
What?
I mean, obviously O'Brien would have had to do it, because otherwise, I mean, it's like...
She's about ready to.
She's dead either way.
Yeah, right.
And don't worry, Molly gets more trauma.
Yeah. Don't worry. I think the actress that plays the daughter, Molly... she was like really afraid of the little person,
sure.
but specifically Rumpelstiltskin, because of like hearing the story as a child, she was really really afraid. So anytime she was on set, there had to be somebody else with her around him.
Poor Michael J. Anderson.
I know.
I think I said this on Green Shirt, but the first time Max saw a little person in real life, he thought it was a robot. Dad, I saw a robot. He didn't know it was like that people could be that smart.
But robots can be.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, little people fucking kick ass.
Oh, for sure.
I feel like when you're a child, you think the story of Rumpelstiltskin is going to like, you're going to carry it with you. Like, that's going to play a role in your life. You hear it a lot. I heard it a lot as a child. And I don't feel like you run across that story much in our adults' lives.
Yeah.
No.
Not anymore.
Yeah. Well, we all kind of abandoned the like scary fairy tales that were so prevalent.
And that's why our children think they're all amazing and brilliant. No, some of you die. Some of you get baked in ovens. Some of you get eaten by fucking wolves.
Well, you
come
can
on, metaphorically.
You can get. We'll give you a participation trophy if you check out our Facebook page.
That's right. We will. We won't.
Subscribe. Like and subscribe.
Yeah. Well, if you were trying to imagine what's coming next week, we will be watching Descent Part 1, the finale. I hope I'm getting my timelines right.
Okay. Should be right.
Descent Part 1. The season 6 finale of TNG and Green Shirt.
Woo!
All right. Happy New Year, everybody.
That's right.
Happy New Year.
Probably,
happy revolution.
That probably already happened by the time you're listening to this.
But. Yeah, 2024. It's going to be great, right? Let's go. Let's kick ass.
100%.
Vibe it up,
absolutely
folks.
Absolutely nothing terrible can happen this year.
Well,
all right.
All right.
Bye.
It's all your imagination.
Adios.